Our pastor, Amen. With a heart and praise the Lord.
Amen. Are you glad that you know who Jesus is? Say everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Tonight we thank God that we do know who Jesus is. Amen. We don't know him but by testing here and every year, but we have a personal testimony that we serve a mighty, mighty, mighty good God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Thank God for everyone that's here tonight. Thank God for Hawaii. Thank God for bringing us already safely through her surgery. Amen. Bless her through her recovery. We just thank God for all he's doing. We thank God. I know everybody did get hit with the storm, but we thank God that there were no serious problems with the storm. We got hit hard in this area. We had like maybe 10 trees down in Griswold Heights. Amen. I went to Albany to pick my wife up. There was a tree down two lanes of the north of the 787. There was only one lane open going down Mill Street. There's a four lane because trees were down. So, amen. We thank God. And in spite of the laws, God is still a keeper. And we just thank God for all that he is doing about this. And we thank God tonight just for knowing who the Savior is. Aren't you glad tonight that you know who the Lord is?
Amen.
And you ever just think of his goodness to you? And all the wonderful things that God has done for us in our lives. Some of the things, we've got some things that wouldn't qualify us to be blessed. But how many know God looked beyond all of our faults? And he saw our needs. For that, we ought to tell him thank you. Amen. So we just bless the Lord tonight. We thank God for being here. Thank God for a mind to be faithful. I mean, I just want to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Amen.
So we ought to all be faithful, amen. So as always, we're going to continue our Bible class from our service on Sunday is stop worrying yourselves to death.
Amen.
Now we preach that on Sunday. I'm not going to ask anyone to indict themselves, but how many have been worried still? Amen. The Bible says, cast all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And that's what our cover said. Cast all your cares. And cares are nothing more than worries or anxieties. Amen. Worries and anxiety. You know, as I was preparing this, we can either trust God. If you trust God, then you won't worry. Amen. But if you worry, that means you don't trust God. Amen. If you trust God and say, Lord, I'm going to do my best, but I know in the final analysis, you hold the future. And Lord, you know everything is going to take place. No matter what threats may come my way, God is still a keeper. Amen? So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. We won't get through all of this, but I get as far as we can. But next Wednesday is the third Wednesday, right? No, second Wednesday. No, not yet. Next week, it's not the third Sunday. All right, so well, if we don't finish it, then Lord willing, I will finish it. But there's such a blessing in studying God's Word. Not reading. There's a big difference between reading and studying. That's why Paul told Timothy to do what? Study. To show yourself approved unto who?
God.
So our studying, our spiritual and reading, our preparation should not be to impress anyone else, but it should be done in approval of God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So we all have, like, we're going to start off with Matthew, the 6th chapter, so the 24th verse. We're going to read verses 24 through 34. Amen. And as I said, I know we won't get to all of this, but we'll get as far as we can, because the purpose is not to speed through it, but our purpose tonight is to have an understanding. The Bible says, wisdom is the what? Principal thing. But in all thy getting, get an understanding. Man. So verse 24 reads, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barn, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why taking thought for raiment, consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? A little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your Lord, thank you. Aren't you glad he knows? Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of not some of these things, but what? No word, not a thing. God knows you have need of all these things. But he says, do what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And the Lord hath blessed the reader, for the church said,
the word of the Lord
is blessed. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I know the 24th verse, when God says you cannot serve two masters. Amen. You will hold to one and despise the other. You will love one and you hate the other. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And most of the time, we take that to mean that God is dealing with riches or wealth. But if you were dealing, then exegesis, I'll go over a little later, exegesis is proper interpretation. Right? There's an interpretation, not a concordance, I mean, not some personal commentary or translation, but exegesis is proper interpretation of the scripture. And using the proper interpretation of the scripture comes within the context of the text of the scripture you read. So if this was only about wealth, look what Jesus says after, in the 25th verse, he says, after he says, you cannot serve God and mammon, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. So is he dealing with wealth? No. He's dealing with a mindset. Amen. He's dealing with a mindset. All right. So let's go to our notes. Matthew 6:24 states that no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So who's speaking here? Jesus. Jesus is a Hebrew or a Jew. So he would not have been speaking in Greek, he would have been speaking in what? Hebrew. All right, so it's important. As you study scripture, you have to remember the culture that the scripture is written within. Amen? So Jesus is not speaking Greek at this time, he's speaking Hebrew. So now let's delve into this and say, if he's speaking Hebrew, what would have been his mindset, all right? So serve is what we're going to focus on. Jesus is really speaking about divided loyalty. Scripture will spell itself out when we go through. No one, man or woman, can serve two masters. The Greek word used here is douleuo, a verb that literally means to take the position of a servant, a doulos, a slave. No one is able to accept slavery to two different authority figures. All right, so we're not. Once again, it's not wealth. It's dealing with a mindset. It's dealing with an authority. It's dealing with who you're going to obey. Are you with me? All right. So let's continue. Most of the time, we apply this famous verse to Israel. issues of materialism, wealth, and possessions. We act as though the subsequent remark, you cannot serve God and mammon, is the only application of this verse. But let us really consider the picture or message that Jesus is conveying. Now, we're dealing with what tonight? Worry. Worry is the opposite of trusting God. When we trust God, then we don't worry. So there's nothing wrong with being concerned, but we should worry to the point that whatever the situation is control us. All right, so let's continue here. All right, it says, first of all, Jesus doesn't restrict the principle of finances as the context of the rest of the scripture defines the principle that he is trying to convey. We have to get out of the habit of going what? Isolating scripture if we want to do a proper exegesis, which is interpretation of the text. He merely makes one application of a general principle. So Jesus is not teaching about wealth, he's teaching a what? Principle. Amen? Divided loyalty doesn't work. So what is the principle that Jesus is teaching about? Serve. Keep in mind that Jesus was a Hebrew, therefore he would be expressing serve from a Hebraic perspective. What does serve mean from a Hebraic perspective? The Hebrew word that Jesus would have most likely used would have been avad. All right, not the Greek word doulos, but avad. Avad is a Hebrew word for work, serve, and worship. So what Jesus would have said, he's dealing with work, serve, and mostly worship. Right? You cannot worship two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Amen? So he would have been dealing with work, serve, and worship. God himself, now to get the understanding of a man, God himself uses this word when he instructs Pharaoh to let the people go so that they may abide. Serve him. Now do you see the bigger picture that Jesus is trying to convey? The bigger picture is to serve God, is to work, and to worship him. God must be the object of our work and worship above anything else, including mammon. Mammon is more than simple wealth. Mammon is anything that we rather than God. So he's trying to convey a message. You're going to work, you're going to save, you're going to worship, but nothing more than God. This is the principle he's trying to teach. And then he continues the principle through the rest of the text, telling you, he said, listen, behold the sparrows. Said that behold means look at, to study intently. Look at the sparrows. He said they don't sow, they don't toil, they don't gather, but God feedeth them. If God feeds the sparrow, won't he feed you? He said, oh ye little faith. So we're not dealing with just wealth, it's dealing with a mindset. It's dealing with a principle. It's dealing with what is your worship. How are you, who are you in subjection to? What authority is controlling your life? Amen? So if you worry, then the authority can't be God. Are you with me? Because if you know God is your authority, he said, listen, I want you to study the birds. You ever see birds? Birds wake up in the morning, see? Y'all ever hear birds murmur and complain? Our birds sing all the time. Amen. Our bird knows my wife's voice and car. I come home, he don't budge. She pull up in the driveway and he starts chirping. It's like, wow, you guys smart a bird has to be? Seriously. We pull up today in her car. That bird, we can hear him all the way outside before we even got to the house. And we used to do it when we lived together with Brooke and James and we lived together in Saudi Arabia. They would come home, bird didn't say anything. They got two cars. They would go pull up, bird didn't say anything. I pull up, bird wouldn't say anything until I walk in the house. And I'd be sitting there and the birds start chirping. I said, here comes my wife. So he's been studying the birds. But birds don't have to do anything. Birds don't murmur. Birds don't complain, and birds don't worry. This is the message he's trying to convey. He said, birds don't worry about anything. They just carefree. He said, I want you to study the birds. If God will feed the birds, won't he also feed you, O ye of little faith? Amen. One of the major problems that we have as saints is that we speak God's word, but we don't absolutely trust in God's word. We don't have absolute trust in God's word that we speak. The word of God is visibly alive in our lives. And as saints of God, we should be the living epistle, the Bible says. Right? God's word should be alive in our lives. When somebody sees us, we can be in a crowd with over a million people. They should see a different, unless those other million people are saved as well, because we are the living epistle. In other words, we are the living expression of God's word. So if you go up to a crowd and you're down in the dumps, you're not the living expression of God's word. So many times we speak God's word, we see God's word, but our actions visibly deny God's word because of worry. You know, are you still with me? Amen. So it says the word of God is visibly alive in our lives, especially when we are under mental duress, because we don't have absolute trust in God's word. Saints, today simply don't trust in God to live by his word. The church is full of popular cliches about God and his sovereignty and omnipotence. But these cliches are only on our lips, but haven't entered into our hearts. So we're still dealing with the mindset to trust God and not worry. So we quote a lot of scriptures, but we will find out these scriptures are only from our lips. They're not from our heart. If we trust God and we speak his word, then we should worry. Because God's word should be in our heart. So Matthew 15, 7-9 says, ye hypocrites. So when you say something and you don't live it, that's not truthful living. And if it's not truthful living, he calls them what? Hypocrites. Now what made them hypocrites? He said, well, it is this. If you compare this with Isaiah 29:13, prophesying you saying, Isaiah is Greek, but Isaiah is Hebrew. And then really not Hebrew, but that's just what they write. Okay? It really is Isaiah. That's what Isaiah is, I believe. These people draw a line to be with their mouth. So hypocrites. Now we say we trust God with your word. When you always speak, you say they draw a line to be with their mouth and only with their lips. But their heart is far from me. But in worship, your worship don't mean nothing if it's not from the heart. Amen. If you only worship God from your lips and your mouth, it doesn't mean nothing. Amen. And they, he said, they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. God's word must be in our hearts for us to draw closer to him in our time of need instead of serving men. What is men? Any system that competes around God, any system outside of God, system is man. Right? So man will control, or we will yield to the authority of man when God's word is not in our hearts. Amen. So our greatest thing that we should work on doing is not just speaking God's word, but we need to have a way in our heart. Psalm 119:11 and Psalm 119:05 are two default scriptures. Now what do we mean by default? That's where you go to automatically. Amen. You don't have to think about it. When you're under duress, amen, when something's going on, we have to default to God's scripture. Amen. It says automatically when we are tempted to worry. So we do
fall to the word of God, when we're tempted to do what?
Worry.
Whenever worry seems to creep up within us, whenever worry seems to try to be our master, then we have to go back to the word of God. Psalm 119:11 reads, "Thy word have I what?
Hid
in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Thy word, in the Hebrew, is emra. It means a spoken word, particularly a personal promise. Preeminently, a dynamic word from God, birthed in the heart and mind of the surrendered believer. This brings strength where there is weakness. The what? Spoken word. Comfort in distress. Deliverance when no human help suffices. So why do we need God's word? When man can't help you, God can suffice. He can supply, the scripture says, all of your needs. So when you have a situation that you're dealing with, somewhere is in the word of God, I found a we need to run to God's word. Alright? So he says, have I hid? Hid is the Hebrew word sefer, means to promptly hide away, keep in safekeeping, intact, cherish as a what kind of treasure?
Personal
treasure. God's word should be a personal treasure. Amen? In my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, notice the Psalms 105 and the Psalm 119:11 and Psalm 119:105 both start off with what?
Thy word.
So in our time of desperation, in our time of duress, thy word.
Yes.
Well, I had his word in my heart, but then the Psalm said in 105, he said that word is a what?
Lamp
to my feet. And thy word is a listen, as long as you're in the word of God, you'll never have darkness. Because God's word is light.
Yes.
Amen. So when you're in word and you're in darkness and gloom, so instead of going through darkness and gloom, I'm going to run to the word of God. For in it I have a hiding place. That word here is debar. It means the entirety, the totality, all facets of the divine word. Is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So when he says thy word is, they bar me all of the word. Can we say all the word?
All the word.
The entirety of God's word is applies to me. And when I apply God's word, it becomes a lamp and a light.
Amen.
When you're in a lamp and a light, there is no darkness. Amen? So if we compare day bar with Isaiah 55:11, it reads, "So shall my word, debar, be that goeth forth out of my mouth." So when God's word is coming forth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall what? Prosper into the things whereto I send it. So God's word is a light and is a lamp. And guess what? If you stay in the word of God, even though everything might seem like it's coming against you, God said, my word won't come back to me empty. But it's going to accomplish it with a purpose in your life. It's going to prosper and you'll be blessed. So why do I run to the word of God? Because God will not deny his word. God will not deny himself. So in my quest to get deliverance, I just run to the word of God. Can we all just say hallelujah? It will not return to me void. But when God sends his word out, God is not like us. God, when he sends out a spoken word, is going to do something. Amen. The old saying is, the word of God will either draw you or to push you away. God's word always does something. If you receive it in your heart and in good ground, then you will flourish. But if you receive it and it falls upon thorns and thistles upon rock, it's never going to last. So you look around sometimes and you wonder, how do people get saved? They're so excited because the word didn't fall on good ground. Because when the word falls on good ground, it flourishes. Amen? We often quote David from Psalms 37:25. Now remember earlier I said we speak God's word, but how do you know for many people God's word is just lip service? Amen. Paul gives us it in Ephesians and Colossians. He said lip service is something we can just be seen of men. But we don't do it in the integrity of our heart and pureness unto God. So many times we quote scriptures, we use scriptures, but we just read them on lip service. When the word of God is on the lip service, it does not draw you to God. Amen? He said, all that with their lips they honor me, he said, but their hearts are far from me. So when we get God's word in our heart, even when things are going rough, we still rejoice in the Lord. Amen? It's just like my wife and I were having some service, we received some news, and it wasn't good news about another church. We didn't rejoice. Amen? That's not God's word. When you receive something about somebody, and even as another brother and sister, you are not to rejoice. But the Bible says we ought to pray one for another. We ought to lift one another up. When the word is in your heart, then you respond properly. When the word is not in your heart, then you don't respond properly. When you don't respond properly, then you're serving men. Right? Because whoever you serve, whoever served you, that's who you will obey. Just reading in your spare time in Romans, the 7th chapter. All right, reading in your spare time, I believe it is. It talks about whosoever you hear, Romans, the 7th or the 6th chapter, it might be the 6th chapter. Whoever you hear yourself, 6th chapter? You might say 6th, all right. Whoever you hear yourself, servants who obey, that is your master. Amen. We do not want anything to be our master in competition with God. So it said, David said, I've been young and old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or seen. Now, do we believe that or do we just quote it? Honest, do we believe that? Is it lip service? Is it just from the mouth or is it from our heart? Because even though it might seem like the world is against you, if you believe that the righteous have been forsaken or seen begging bread, you know God will make a way where there is no way. Amen. God will make a way for you. And if you just say, Lord, I want to stand on your word until it happens. I'm not going to deny it. Lord, I'm not going to worry about it. I trust you because your word won't return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you please. And then they say it will take away, but it's going to do what? Prosper into the things that you said. So when I stand on the word of God, I have to prosper. I'm not talking about getting $1 million. All right? We're talking about God blessing you when you stand on his word, amen? He said, but we fail to live it when we are confronted with an overwhelming challenge. So he said, we fail to live Psalm 37:25 when we're presented with an overwhelming challenge. The word of God should be our automatic default when we feel overwhelmed by the pressures of life. Does anybody feel overwhelmed? This is your personal thing. If you feel overwhelmed, then you should default. What's the default? You're defaulting. Dear Abby, I hope you know she's still around. Should be Reader's Digest. God forbid, you definitely don't go to the horoscopes. Right? Sometimes people get desperate to be like Saul. Saul killed witches, then when he couldn't get God, he went to the witch. Jesus. We shouldn't default to anything but the word of God. Whatever you're going through, make the word of God your default. If your enemies are mistreating you, default. Yes. If someone is treating you ugly in heart, default. Where? To the word of God. Why would we default to the word of God? For in the word of God I have hiding place. There's no place to hide but in the word of God. Amen? So son, we must automatically default to the words of the psalmist from Psalm 61 verses 1 and 2 and Psalm 102. I think 102 is verses 1 and 2 also, I believe. Alright? But Psalm 61 verse 1 reads, to the chief musician upon Nebuchadnezzar, a psalm of David. Now David is going through something. He says, hear my cry, that is higher. But what is he crying out? He's not crying out to anybody but God. In our desperation, amen, make God your best friend. My mom told us when we were growing up, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs in there. What a privilege it is to carry. What everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. And Proverbs say he's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Amen. Anybody want that kind of a friend? So in our So the rock is an even, is an Av, and Ben is the son. So the rock is the father and the son. We do that a lot of times. So when I need help, I run to the rock. Who's the rock? The rock is Jesus. He's the even, he's the Av and the Ben. He's the father and the son. So Jesus said, if you see me, you see the father, because I am my father. All right, we're not getting deep. We're not going to go off of that. Y'all play with that in this spare time. That's the even. So when you run to the rock, right? Because remember when Moses, when they were out in the wilderness, let me go off over there. When they were out in the wilderness and didn't have no water, God told Moses to do what? Strike the rock. And what came out of the rock? For out of him shall flow rivers of the even, right? The father and the son. All right, I don't want to give up. Yeah. All right? But that's why we have to run to the rock. That is higher than that. And just think of this. So when Jesus was on the cross, what did they do? They spoke. When they spoke, what came out? Water and blood. The even. So sometimes, you said that, sometimes you get lost in God. Right? I stayed with even for a long time, but I ain't gonna stay in it. Just keep going. Alright? So Psalm 102, verses 1-2 reads, a prayer of the when you're afflicted, guess what? You need God's help. Right? The prayer of the afflicted. David said, it was at the time when I was afflicted. Right, that I learned his priest. He says, good that I have been afflicted. Why? My afflictions brought me back to God. Your worries, your overwhelmness shouldn't take you away from God, but it should bring you back. It was good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. It's good that I went through some hard times because my God out. The first one we should run to is who? God. Why? Because thy word is a lamp to my feet.
Yes.
And it's a light to my path. Amen. Said disappointment to see empty result without value because illusionary, misleadingly contrary to what is true. So when you run to anything outside of God, it's going to mislead you to something that is not true. That building, the simple Lord, keep the city, the walls, the raging blood in, it's an illusion, it's misleading to something that is not true. Amen. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for what? And give it his beloved. Listen to the adjective that God used to this explain us. We're not just his saints. We are his beloved. Amen. You know, so when you read something like beloved, all right, what we know David means beloved, right? David means beloved. When David and Bathsheba had Solomon, they said, I believe they sent the prophet to David and Bathsheba, and they said, name him Jedidiah. Because Jedidiah means beloved of the Lord. David means beloved. So God said, just keep him in the same thing. I wonder how Solomon would have turned out if they would have named him the name that God called him instead of Solomon. Think about that. God says, call him Jedidiah. You can read about it. He said, what? 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel? Somewhere in that area, all right? No, I think it's 2 Samuel. But they told him to name him Jedidiah. And you have to wonder why they changed his name to Solomon. Because Jedidiah means he's beloved of the Lord. And remember, Hebrew is important. Hebrew names were important because the name reflected the character of the individual with the name.
Yeah.
Right? So if he had kept the name that God gave him, he would have been beloved of the Lord. He would have probably never turned his back and loved strange women. But his name displayed his character. Now, I didn't look up Solomon to see what it means, but you can look it up in your spare time, all right? So can I have a few more minutes and we finish this? Amen. So it said, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, so he giveth his beloved feet. But then Peter said, casting what? Anybody tonight got cares that you have not cast on him?
Jesus.
Anybody cares? This means anxiety's word. Casting.
All your cares.
Give it all to him.
Amen.
Jesus says, come unto me. All ye that labor and heavy ladies, I give you rest. So it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he
cares for you.
Peter used the Greek word meleia, for he careth. Meleia is an unusual word which is only used. I like that when I find something used one time or two times. Because it has a significance, right? So it's only used one time in Scripture. The translation he cares for you isn't quite what this word means. The word means to be an object of concern. So he said, listen, he cares for you. You are the object of his concern. We are the object of his concern. So we cast our cares upon him. Why? He's focusing on us. Every last one of us, we are the object of his concern. So he said, just give me that burden and let me bear it. You don't have to carry it. But think tonight, how many need this burden we are carrying around? Because we won't give it to the one who says we're the object of his concern. It isn't that he just cares about the general state of our humanity. His concern is focused on the whole of us. So when the object is his concern, you worry about money. God said, I got to worry about the whole of you. Because money is going to take you to heaven. So I don't worry about money. We worry about the thing. God said, listen, you are isolated, but I want all of you. How many of us, God, have all of us? And he said, my focus, my concentration is not just on the things that you don't know, but I'm concerned about the whole of you. Which is what? Spirit, soul, and body. So we're the object. preparation for your soul. And he's concerned with how you take care of your body. Because love has become beings. But we're taking care of our bodies. All right. I was talking to my brother today. He said, send me that DVD. I made a DVD for those who want to see it. So God is concerned with the whole of us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 said, and the very God, and the very God of peace, sanctify you. What does sanctify mean? It means to be what? Set apart for his use. Right? Sanctify and be for the master's use. And prepare unto heaven. Sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When God is intently focusing on us, it's not just one, it's the whole of us. Spirit, soul, and body. Can we say hallelujah? And we can't do what God can do. God focuses on all. Now, I said that when he sanctifies us, let's go to Psalms 40, verse 3. When God sanctifies us, he says, but the Lord know, but know that the Lord has what? Set upon him that is. If you want God to have you set aside, you have to live God. Amen. Meaning we have to reflect the nature and character of God. Godly. Have y'all ever seen God as godly? All right, listen. Come on, y'all, let me ask you. Y'all ever seen God as uppity? You ever seen God show partiality? Have you ever seen God be dishonest? Those are not part of God's character or nature. Amen. God's character and nature is Galatians 5 verses, 22 is bad, so 23 and 24, I think, are the fruit of the Spirit. That is God's nature. Love, peace, gentleness, goodness, temperance, long-suffering. Right? The Bible says against such, there is no law. So we want to reflect God's character, which is godly. When we do that, then God sets us aside for himself. How many want to be set aside for God? Amen. I know I do. So I have to live truthfully. I have to live honestly. Actually, can you pull up Galatians 5? Let's go here. I'm not going to get a lot further than this. Let's go to Galatians 5, another verse, I think it's 22. All right, Galatians 5:22 said, now listen, we're talking about being set aside for who? God. Right. Now this is our own personal examination. You know how in school, you have a written test, that you grade your own papers? Now it didn't do no good to cheat. If you did school, grade your paper, you give yourself 100, because when you take the test, you got an F because you were an honest. Okay? So this is you grade your own test right now, all right? This test is about being what? Godly.
Amen.
Right, we're going to finish here, because I don't have time to finish. We're going to finish here. Because God sets upon him that is godly for himself. And said, because God sets you apart, the Lord will hear you when you call.
Amen.
Amen? So when you're godly, when you call, God hears you because you are his sanctified. He has set you apart for himself. What classifies or characterizes me to be God? Is it because I talk godly? Is it because I think I represent godly? But it says the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
That's God's first character, because God is
love.
Joy. Joy, I give you the world. Can't give it to you. Peace. Say, keep your mind on me and I keep you in
perfect
peace. Long suffering. Amen. God was long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. But that we should all. These are God's characters. These are God's nature. This is what helps us to be, can we say, godly? Gentleness. Amen. God was always gentle. Even when someone was caught wrong, God was gentle. Have you ever read in the scripture what Jesus condemned anybody? He was gentle. Even when they brought in the woman that was caught in adultery, he said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" She said, "Sir, no man." He said, "Great, go for what? Sin no more." Right? So a lot of times we think, well, God is good to me, well, God forgave me. He said, "Yeah, you've been forgiven, but go ahead, sin no more." And what? Goodness. Faith, verse 23. Meekness. Self-control, right? For all of us have been reading Proverbs, the Bible says, if we have no control of our own spirit, we are like a city without walls. All right. We read one chapter of Proverbs every day.
Amen.
Right, so we learn. So he that has no rule over his own spirit, it's like a city without walls, right? Temperance, self-control. So if you fall to happen easily, work on your temperance. No matter what anyone does, it shouldn't cause us a fight. Because it says that when you have all these characters of God against us, there is no law. So once again, Psalms 4:3. But know that the Lord has set upon him that is godly. How many want to be God's own? He said, in the day that I make up my jewels, you will be mine. When you live godly, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Amen. We're going to stop there for tonight, because that's the halfway point. And Lord, tarrying willing, next week we'll finish it. But we're dealing with, what does it do? What do we have to do not to worry ourselves to death? Amen. What do we have to do? We just need to find a place in God. When you're at your wit's end, when you're at your worst point, find your place in God. Well, you know, I just read God's word. You know, and if you're too weak and too tired to read, play it on YouTube. Play it on your phone. The word of God will speak to you. God will direct your path. Why? Because the word of God is a lamp to my feet. And it's a light to my path. Do we have any comments, any questions? Amen. Any prayer? All right. We're going to pray. Let me see if we got any comments or questions. Any comments? Huh? Solomon means peace.